Oh, hello. Oh, it's getting exciting now. Not long, people. Yeah, on this week's show, I've got Mark Stowe. Brilliant guy. Great interview with him. You all know what you're listening to, don't you? Yeah, that's right. What an amazing year. Thanks for joining me on this journey. I'd just like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thanks to all my guests for being on the show. You don't know how much it means to me that you've agreed to be with me and share your stories. Big shout out to my mum and dad in Malta, my brother and family. Have a great Christmas. Let's get on with the show. Sit back, relax. Hey, get an eggnog. Okay. Well, I've got Mark Stowe on. Mark, welcome.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Yeah, and you know what the show's about, Mark, and we spoke about before, and we've known each other for a bit now on the old interweb, but we've
on
only
social media.
Recently met.
Yeah,
on the old on social media.
It's funny how you can meet someone without actually meeting them, if that makes sense. You can get to know people without actually meeting them. Strange.
Yeah, it is. It is because I met the first time when we met last week, I met a couple of other people and I actually thought that I knew them. And I never even, we've conversed a lot, but I've never met them face to face. And it was almost like, well, we have met, haven't we? And I was like, no, we've never met. It's a really strange phenomenon that we find ourselves in at the moment, isn't it? We get to know people and then meet them and then get to know them properly.
Don't you find it's quite a good icebreaker as well? I mean, I walked in that room and I was like, well, I know 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 people in that room via social media. So straight away, I felt comfortable in the environment I was in. I didn't feel like I was a stranger in the room.
No, it's really strange. And that's why I worked on the show, Matt, because the show is about, it's about several elements. It's about business, so showing people, proper business owners that are doing something, what do they need in the business, you know, to help along the way.
Yeah.
It's about dyslexia and it's about adversity. And I've been watching you on social media, got to talking to you last week, and actually some of the things you're doing, and you've just told me something else just before the interview, which I didn't even know. So it's actually, it's great, and I think I like to get people on that interest me, that I meet or I know or I get to, you know, see. And because if they interest me, then there's a fair chance they're going to interest other people.
Absolutely.
So anyway, tell everyone a bit about yourself, Matt.
That in itself is a very layered question.
All right. What about your business? How did you get into your business? How did you start your business off? What happened?
I started my business off through pure desperation and lack of options.
Mm-hmm.
So without getting too in depth with the story, I'm living in London at the time. I decided to give my first business venture a go, which was a mobile car wash.
Yeah.
And then you get a showroom that asks you to pop here now and again to do a few cars. And then, oh, can you stay for the day? Oh, can you just come here all week? And before you know it, you've got all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my wife, or girlfriend at the time, now wife, became ill, nothing too serious, but it just meant that I wasn't able to go to work every day because we had little Bracken. And they basically said, don't come back. I was like, oh. So I put all my eggs in one basket and then they just trod on the whole thing. So with very little cash in my pocket, I was like, I need to do something now that doesn't take years and years to get a return. I need to be able to walk out of this house now and start earning. And literally the only thing that was available to me at the time was window cleaning. So I literally just spent, I think I had a couple hundred pound left to my name. I bought a roof rack and I bought a ladder and a bucket, and the rest is history.
That's pretty good. Well, it's not pretty good. It wouldn't have been pretty good at the time, but a little bit of adversity in there, Matt, because you find yourself in a situation where, oh my goodness, what am I going to do next? Young baby and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty scary stuff, isn't it? I've been there myself. So,
I'll be honest. I'll be honest, just to jump in there. there's been a couple of those kind of situations where you think, you know, it's a bit of adversary, but just seem to roll the punches quite well. There's been a few things that have happened throughout my life, and you talk to other people and they go, well, you got over that. I was like, well, isn't that what you just do? You get on with it, kind of attitude. But I didn't realise, if I'm honest, that years come on. I mean, we're talking maybe 18 months ago now. You know, doing the old reflection through your life and perhaps what took you down this road, and you try and see what decisions you made along the way. And it turned out that perhaps, I mean, I'm 31 now, so perhaps about 25, 23 years ago, I actually planted the seed to become a window cleaner without realising what I'd done. So just briefly, just walking through my village with my dad, perhaps on the way to school or the local news agents, whatever. And I said to my dad, you know, I'd really like to get one of these cars. One of our neighbours has got a Rover V8, what was it, the SD1, the Tess.
Mm.
It's like a nice blue colour.
Nice.
Yeah, and it just used to deafen the whole village when it used to drive about. It was lovely. I was like, Dad, we should really get one of those. He's like, I can't afford to. I was like, oh, that sucks. Okay, so what does he do for a living? Because whatever this guy does for a living, obviously can afford this car. Turns out he was a window cleaner. But from that day till, I don't know, I was in my early 20s, was never thought about in between that gap.
Wow.
And it just happened to be the only option in front of my face was perhaps something I planted over 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, when I was at school, I wanted to be either a copper or a DJ.
All right.
So there you go. So I'm doing a radio show and a podcast. So it's only took me 50 years.
Yeah.
It's only took me 50 years to get here, but I'm on it. That is really interesting, Mark. I think it's what I like about you, very entrepreneurial, and actually you've looked around and gone, actually, I know, you know, to take to the last couple of hundred quid you had in your pocket or wherever you had it, and to spend it all on something is really entrepreneurial, because you're risking what you've got left. So a lot of people would have said, I need to save that because over the next couple of days I might need to buy some more food or bread or whatever.
Yeah.
But you've gone, do you know what? If I take this money that I've got now, this £200, invest it into something, invest some time into it, then I'll be all right. You know, I think it's fantastic what you've done. How long ago was that then, Matt?
That was, so I first classed myself as self-employed the day my son was born, because my attitude was I didn't want to be in the hands of someone else. I didn't rely on someone else's managerial skills or business skills to keep me in a job. So that was the 31st of July 2006, maybe a year later, maybe not quite a year later, was when I took the pun on window cleaning. So you're still talking of 10 years ago.
Well, that's really interesting, because that's, I mean, most businesses, a lot of businesses fall within the first 12 months, but, you know, once you get to the 10-year stage, you've sort of got yourself established a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I would say that. But I'm not going to try and pretend that I walked out one day with a ladder and then built the empire. Do you remember what Croz was saying last week about income mode and entrepreneurial mode?
Yeah, I did.
I spent probably, even though I class myself as self-employed, I probably spent another 18 months perhaps after that decision I made, because I realised, oh, I haven't got enough to even live on. I haven't got enough to pay my rent. I haven't got enough to buy any food. So I went into income mode and got a job working for another window cleaner just to see the time over. So when I wasn't working with him, I was trying to build my own up. I can still remember now. I'd print off a load of leaflets at home one evening, go to work the next day whilst they were drying on the floor of our studio flat. And then the next evening, I'd be cutting them out. And I'd probably be doing that until the early hours.
Yeah.
And the day after that, after work, I'd then go out posting them. So it was a slow process. But I think it's the snowball effect. Once you get to a certain stage, like you say, once you get to a stage where you've covered your income, that's when you can start to be a little bit more clever. If you can use that as a term, being clever.
Yeah, no, I think it's right. And I think it's important for people to know that unfortunately, a lot of people see the end result. Like you saw the Rover V8, and all the noise and everything. Oh, he's a window cleaner. That's great. God knows how long I've been window cleaning for to buy that or what other income he had. But what I like about it is the story and the transition of you doing those things, the hard slogs. You've gone to work for someone else. And so people will see Mark now driving round and going, wow, and look what he's done. Do you know what I mean? Look where he is. Look what he's done. He's got a good business and some of the things he's doing. But a lot of people ignore the previous years before that because a lot of people would give up. A lot of people wouldn't have done what you've done. They'd have gone, do you know what? Sod this. It's not worth it. It's not working. I'll go and get another job. I might as well work for the fella window cleaning. What am I doing this for? But you didn't. You persisted and ended up moving forward. And one of the reasons I wanted you on the show was some of the things you're doing currently at the minute that I've seen you do, which I think is phenomenal. So do you want to tell people what you're doing as well as your window cleaning?
So at the moment the window cleaning is the core business. It takes care of, like you say, the income mode and a bit more so. Within that I do gutter clearing. That just pops up as and when it's needed. But this time of year, this is the first year I've decided to do it, is festive lights, so Christmas lights, which is basically a rental service. I've been wanting to do this almost since the first day I bought the ladder. Because one of the things I was taught from one of my car washing clients, they said as soon as you buy one bit of equipment, work out how you can get as many revenue incomes from that one bit of equipment. So as soon as I bought the ladder, I was like, okay, well, I can get up there and put lights up there.
Yeah.
And that was all those years ago. But I could not figure out how to make it work as a business. Right. And the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I got chatting to some American window cleaners back in September. And we were just chatting business and things like that. And they were just saying, oh, it's festive light season soon. I was like, do you know what? I've been wanting to do that for ages. Like, how do you do it? And the simple thing is, you go and stock yourself up with lights, as in me personally, and then you offer the service to perhaps yourself as a client. So for a set fee, I turn up, I fit my lights, you get to enjoy them for the Christmas period. I come back in January, take them down and take them away. Just like that.
Do you know what? Do you know what? That's absolutely bonkers. It's the most stupid idea I've ever heard, but it's not stupid. It's absolutely brilliant.
Exactly.
Isn't it? That is absolutely brilliant because, we never put anything outside our house because, you know what? I can't be bothered. But do you know if Mark was driving along, I'd go, do you know what, Mark? Please, can I rent some lights off you and get them up? I might be all over that. I think it's genius.
It's taken off a lot better than I anticipated. So I set, as you would do in any sort of business idea, or I would suggest you should do. I don't like to use the word should, but it's becoming more and more apparent to me that you should do these things. You have an idea. You decide to go forward with an idea is to put yourself a target. So mine was a sales target. I wanted to achieve X amount of sales, and I was thinking probably divide that by about 10 clients because they probably wouldn't want to spend that much. Right on top of Christmas just for some lights. Well, I was wrong. Not only did I go over the target, my sales target, but the average spend, which I thought people would spend on this service, was over double. So it just goes to show that there's even more available to me than I first thought. You just don't know until you get it out there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've never heard of it before. I think it's wonderful. And the thing is, it's the perceived value, isn't it?
It is.
If you're going to come on a cold winter's morning with your lights and your illuminated canes, because I've seen them, they're good as well, and install it for someone while they're sat inside drinking coffee and having biscuits or whatever they're doing, and then you're going to come back in January, mate, that is just priceless because no one wants to do it. Even the people that are nutty about Christmas and Christmas lights don't want to do that bit. It's not fun, is it?
No.
I think it's brilliant. I really do. I think you'll. I think it's a great thing you've done, and obviously there'll be other things on top of it. You need to get hold of these American window cleaners again and ask them what else they do.
I think that was the only thing I was missing from what they already do.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's really good. And we spoke last week, and a lot of people might look at someone doing a job that. And I was trying to be very careful when I said it to you, but a lot of people say, oh, he's only a window cleaner, or he's only this, or he's only that. Well, no one's only anything, are they? I mean, you are a business owner. You've got a really good entrepreneurial head. You're doing things differently. You're not just doing one thing, and you run a business, and there'll be thousands of people out there listening or find out about things people are doing like yourself and go, I wish I could do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think
it's quite interesting, actually. I mean, some people, would look at you and go, or you and I, and go, oh, he's just this, he's just that. But there is a lot of people out there, and my dad was one of them. We sat down and had a long, extended chat, probably about this time last year, and we were just chatting because he's just recently retired. And I like to talk to people that have done their, time in their career and their so-called job to find out how they feel now they've made it. Is it like, oh, I can relax now, you know, I can breathe again. So we were just chatting away, and he basically turned around and said that he didn't have the courage that I had. The second that he became sort of parents are responsible for certain duties, financial duties, the first thing he thought was, I need a job. I need a secure job. Not that I'm going to go find it myself. I want someone to give it to me or find it for me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's can be a bit of a generational thing, but also a thing from I don't want to say the word, but I'm going to say it from work. If you want working class, it's get a job, do your bit, and everything will be wonderful. And I'm challenging that, and I'm challenging it in some of the things that I'm doing, and some my own journey's challenged that as well. That actually. If you're passionate about something or you really want to do something, then go and do it. And I think you're a shining example of that. You've gone and done something. But you've not just gone and done the thing, yeah? Because you could be 10 years on. I mean, I've got a window cleaner. I think you only see him when he needs a bit of cash, because I don't see him from one month to the next. And the next thing, he's here for 3 weeks. He seems to come when it's nice weather. So, yeah, I've got a fair weather window cleaner. So I could do with you around here, Mark. But, yeah, what you're doing, I think, is really good. And then
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do. I really like what you're about, Mark. And the other thing, which I didn't know, but you told me before, because people who listen to this might know who Brad Burton is and they might know who Cross Crosley is, but I didn't know until you told me 5 minutes ago. You was on a programme last year, weren't you?
The Money Pit, yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because I didn't even see it. I've got it recorded. I've not even got to the last one. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, yeah, they left the best till last, of course. And it just goes to show, you know, when you start something, you should always go to the end, because you never know what you're going to miss out on. So you've missed out on my pitch.
I have. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to find it. I'm going to go and find it now and have a watch of it.
So, yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, right, I'm sure I got the phone call for that show through Pity. Back at the time when they called me, I was not much different than I am now in terms of the business that I produce and the service I produce, but an outsider looking in would say he's just a little guy, he's in the car, you know, he's got not much going for him. So they basically rang me up and said, how would you like a van, you know, how would you like to have the opportunity to pitch and get investment for a van? And part of me was like, sounds interesting. And the other part of me was like, well, who said I wanted a van, for a start? So it was one of those moments.
Give me a V8 Rover.
one of the funny things was, I sort of stood back. To be honest, when I first got the phone call, I was like, this guy's winding me up. But when we finally got to the point where this was a legit program, I then started to be a little bit sort of serious about it. I was like, okay, is this going to be my one chance of getting, you know, a big lump sum? Because everything I've done in business has been scraping the barrel, just trying to make that tiny 10p go a little bit further. So I thought, is this going to be the opportunity to get, you know, the van, the equipment, and everything else that I currently don't have? And then just this strange feeling came over me, and it's like this other voice. Am I allowed to swear on this, by the way?
Well,
which I try not to.
I could bleep it out, but go on.
Well, this other voice came over me and said, if you need a handout, like a TV show, to get yourself a van and equipment to make yourself perceived to be more professional, then you do not deserve to be in business.
Oh, so, yeah. Interesting.
So I was like, okay, all right, I'm just going to take a step back for a moment. So I was talking to the guy on the TV show. I was like, have I got to be serious about this? And he went, no, come and ask for a cloth if you want. I was like, oh, okay. So it's kind of like, it's serious money. It's a serious program. They are serious investments. But you don't have to take it to the extreme serious, if that makes sense. So I thought, what else? What do I actually need right here, right now? And what could I do with? So I was like, you know what? My ladder's a bit old now. This is like 8 or 9 years old, this ladder. So why don't I get a nice new ladder? So that was my, you got to find your level sometimes in life. And that was my level, was this ladder. So I wasn't going to the extreme where I was getting all the van, all the equipment, and things like that. I thought, well, I'll go for the ladder. Just go there for the experience. I'm going to get a chance to be on TV, on Dave TV.
Yeah, that's exposure.
Exactly, something different. And by the time I got to the show to actually do the filming, I was like, you know what? Regardless of what happens in the pit, as they called it, I've kind of already won because I'm here. I've got this far. I've got through all the auditions and everything else. So in that sense, I was so relaxed and I didn't have a script. I was watching everyone else in the so-called green room getting really stressed and practicing their pitches and trying their products. And I didn't have anything. I didn't even have a pitch. I just said to myself, because I'm a little bit into self-development, hence why I was at Crozzy's The Learners Are Earners Day last week.
Because
I am into self-development. You know, work harder on yourself than you do on your work and all that. And I remember just sort of like somewhere along the line I read about, you know, just visualizing, just feeling, and just kind of letting go and have faith that it's going to work out. Sometimes you have to do the work. So I did the work. I got myself to the TV show. And I just said to myself, I'll just know that whatever comes out of my mouth when it's my turn to speak will be the right thing. And I just left it there. I didn't practice a script. I didn't try and pretend I knew what I was going to say.
Wow.
They called my name. To be honest, this does sound a little bit big-headed, but the pitch was almost flawless. Even though they cut it from the full pitch, they cut it down obviously to make it into a TV program, even as I was giving the speech, or the pitch rather, there was no blips. It just seemed to go so well. It was unbelievable. And I got full backing within about 10 seconds.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm going to have to watch you now. It's brilliant. What did you get? A mop and bucket? A bucket and a squeegee? Is that what you got?
No, a ladder. I've got a new ladder.
That's ace. But isn't that brilliant? And I think as... well, I don't think, sorry. That's why on this, when I do this show, I don't do any questions, because you'd overanalyze it. And so I like to actually do this radio show and just do it off the cuff and just sort of broadly know where I'm going and just wing and just go for it.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to.
Yeah, because that's what you do when you're in life, don't you? You're not sat in the kitchen before you go out for the day going, right, I'm going to meet Joe down the road, so I'm going to say this to him, and then I'm going to go and meet there, and I'm going to say this to you. You just let life, it's life, innit? Just let life come your way.
100%. I mean, I didn't know what you're going to ask me today, so I'm just winging the answers as well.
Well, we're nearly coming to the end, Mark, to be honest with you. It's flown by. Yeah, we were 23 minutes. You're one of the longest guests I've had on. I normally stop at 20.
So I'll tell you what, we've hardly scratched the surface. We'll have to do episodes 1, 2, 3, 4.
You'll have to come back on. It's Confessions of a Window Cleaner. Because that's what I really want you on for. I want some confessions. Yeah.
The clean confessions. The clean confessions.
The clean confessions, obviously, Mike. Obviously. But we can go after the watershed. But now the serious bit is, because you've got a business and you obviously want to keep expanding your business. So where can people find you then, Mark?
Well, the usual sort of Facebook. You can get my email address on Facebook. Got my website, which is www.stoweswindowcleaning.co.uk. If you ever see me about in the local East London area, then you can't miss my van. Even at night, it glows and reflects different colours. So I'm out and about all the time.
And because that was a question I was going to ask next, and I forgot to ask it. So you got the new ladder, but I know you've got a van because I've seen it, because it's all over Facebook. So did you then go and buy a van after being on the show?
Yeah, because as soon as I walked out the TV show, I was like, you know what? It's funny how you say these things when you're in like your peak state, but then when you're at your peak state, you tend to forget that you believe it.
Yeah.
But when I walked out of the, it was recorded at Alexandra Palace. So as I was walking out back to the train, I talk to myself a lot. And I said, don't ever tell yourself that you can't do something. Because you've just proved yourself that you can.
Correct.
So with
Yeah.
Go on.
No, because that comes right through. But with that, go on, what are you going to say?
Yeah, literally from there, I was just like, okay, I'm going to get a van. And I didn't put a timeline on it. I didn't think, right, I'm going to get in 12 months or whatever. I just said, right, I'm going to go to work every day, just do what I've got to do, and I'm just going to get a van. And I'm going to get the system put in, like the water system that I wanted. I want the branding, like the livery on the side of the van. And I just sort of like, I put it out there. I just sort of said to myself and whoever's listening, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to achieve. Whether it takes me 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't care. It's just on its way. And word of a lie, that was about, so it's probably about June, July time that I said that. It was about August I actually started making allowances for that. So I was like, okay, let's do something about this a bit more productively now. Let's do an extra job a day and stop wasting your money on McDonald's drive-throughs. And then before you know it, come the tail end of September, I'm driving down to Kent to pick up my van.
Awesome.
I was like,
awesome, mate.
Well, that came around quick.
Awesome. That is really good. I love it. And like I said to you before, that's why I wanted you on, because I sort of knew bits of your story and knew sort of where you come from, where you started and what you've done. Some of the things you've done, but not everything. And I think it's intriguing. And just keep doing what you're doing, Matt, because and keep inspiring people with what you do in your business. I think it's great.
I'll leave you with this, because this could, you might get people asking, I want to hear more about that. But if I was to just bullet point my life, I was one of three children, come from a broken family. I was homeless at 18, had a miracle child at 20, was almost 21, 20. And now in business for over a decade at 31. Oh, and I'm married. Brilliant. I'm married to someone that's 19 years older than me. So there's a few categories there.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I think after half you on, there's going to be all sorts we can talk about.
All sorts.
Anyway, Matt, thanks for being on the show. It's been absolutely wonderful. And I'm hoping to see you soon. I want to see the pictures of when you're taking your lights back down again in January. Anyway, thanks for being on the show, mate.
Thanks, Kirk.
Take care. The Dougie Stone Show. Thanks, Matt, for being on the show. Really enjoyed that chat. And it was. I'm glad I met you, mate. Thanks so very much. Hey, next time we have got the one, the only internet sensation, Dad Boy, for a world exclusive. Anyway, he's smashing YouTube at the minute with his songs, and he's been asked to appear over in Scandinavia and places like that. I just think he's great. I've got to know him quite well over the last few months, but tune in, check it out. It's going to be a mega one. Thanks. Wow, that's the end of another show, and the last one before Christmas. Whatever you're doing, people, enjoy it. No, I'm going to. Really looking forward to it. Oh, you've been listening to Don't forget to tune in again next week. It's going to be a cracker, I'm telling you, it's going to be a cracker. Well, thanks for everyone who supported me up to this point. Thanks to my amazing wife for pushing me in the right direction. Thanks for Clay for allowing me to have a show on his station. And thank you to you all for listening. I really mean that. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas.